Good afternoon. This is our 47th class in the Rambam, Hilchos Malachim and Mochamas, and we are approaching the end of the Rambam's Laws of Kings and Wars. We are in chapter 12. We left off last time at the end of Halacha 2, and I'm going to read Halacha 2 again so we can finish those portions that we left unresolved. So we're going to read the whole thing again. Amru Chachamim, our sages have said, Ein ben olam hazeh, the Emos HaMashiach, there's no difference between this world and the days of Mashiach, El Shibud Malchios Bilvad, only the difference being the subjugation of the nations, which we discussed last week. Most people would read, like the Rambam ruling like Shmuel, that that's the only difference. And we learned in the Rambam that he didn't say Shmuel, he said Chachamim, meaning that the Rambam is saying there'll probably be more differences, but that difference we're certain of. That's for sure going to happen, that there will be the end of the subjugation of the kingdoms, and the Jewish people will have absolute autonomy and liberty and freedom to serve Hashem. And then the Rambam went on to say, that it seems from the simple reading of the verses, which we explained last week, means that the Rambam is telling you in terms of there being the geopolitical changes in the world. That's guaranteed. That's for sure. That's pretty obvious. And so, as we mentioned last week, that has to be part of what you're expecting. But then there's other things that are going to happen that we don't know what to expect because they're based on how you read the verses. Says the Rambam, here's what I think. But don't get bogged down on these things, because even my opinion, don't rely on it to start making calculations, because we don't really know the truth. Yirami pshuta shaldira enavim, it seems from the simple reading of the words of the prophets, shebetchilas yemos ha-Mashiach, that at some point in the beginning of the days of Mashiach, tia molchames Gog u-Magog, there will be the war of Gog u-Magog, which means that even though there's going to be this geopolitical shift, and that nations will stop warring with each other, and the Jewish people will have complete freedom in that way, there will still be the truly wicked who will rise up in one great war against God. And if the question is, how do people think they can go to war with God? So that's a question that we have to ask since the beginning of time, when people have thought that they can challenge God. Right? But before Gog u-Magog happens, Yamud Navi li Yisrael, there will be a Navi. Now, as we mentioned then, he doesn't call him Eliyahu, even though he's going to quote the verse about Eliyahu. Right, so, which means he's just saying, I don't know if it's going to be Eliyahu, but for sure there will be a Navi, because without a Navi, we won't be able to be prepared properly for the coming of Mashiach. And we mentioned the Radvaz, who says that the Navi is also going to reinstitute Smicha, which the Rambam doesn't mention, because the Rambam holds you don't need a Navi you don't need Eliyahu, so to speak, to reinstitute Smicha, because we can reanimate Smicha on our own. We do understand that this Navi is going to show up, Le'yasher Yisrael, to straighten out the Jewish people, Ulahachin Libam, to prepare their hearts, Shenamar, and that's the verse, Hine Anochi Shaleach Lachem, I will send to you, as Eliyahu Navi, that's the end of the book of Malachi. Says the Rambam, but don't misunderstand what his purpose here. He's not here to give you halachic rulings in that sense. He's not here to declare that something pure is impure. Nor to declare anything that's impure to be pure. That's not his job. And he's not here to disqualify people who we assume are kosher. Nor is he here to make kosher someone who we assume is not. Ella, rather, lasum shalom ba'olam, to bring peace to the world, shenemar, as it says in that verse, that Eliyahu will come, v'heshiv lev avos albanim, and bring back the hearts of the fathers to the children. So we left this a little bit unresolved last week. What is Eliyahu exactly going to do? If he's coming to resolve Torah questions, so we understand what that process would look like. He would sit down in a big hall, and people would line up, and everyone would ask him all their questions, you know, like they did to Reb Chaim Kanievsky, and they went around in the row. But this time, coming straight from Eliyahu HaNavi, Smicha v'Moshe Rabbeinu, going back to Moshe Rabbeinu. So that's, we can understand that. But if his job is to bring peace between parents and children, what does that look like? What does that look like? So we don't really know, but we do have a clue as to what the Rambam thinks about it. Yes.
Okay. You had a great class a number of weeks ago on what was the Rambam's view of Mashiach and Yosef. Okay. So I'm keeping that in mind, but now with what you said, I mean, I understand Eliyahu was a Kohen writer, right?
Possibly.
So that would not be Mashiach and Yosef, but whatever the role of Mashiach and Yosef, doesn't this bring some of the sounds like Mashiach and Yosef?
Right. The thing is like this. Eliyahu, or Navi, is a different role than the role of a Mashiach. Right? Either Mashiach ben Yosef or Mashiach ben David. Those are leaders, political leaders even. Right? And the Navi was alongside the king. He was the spiritual check to the king. So the role of Eliyahu is not... I mean, we're going to see. I still owe everyone the Vilna Gaon, and he's going to introduce Mashiach ben Yosef into this business as well. We'll come to that soon. But in Eliyahu, generally, we separate the concept of Eliyahu and Mashiach ben Yosef. Right. So, but it is interesting that the role that he's playing is this. Is okay. So now, where does this debate start from? So really, this is a Mishnah in Masechtas Edeos. So Masechtas Edeos is the Masechta which... basically, what happened was there was a Rabban Gamliel was deposed from his position as the Nasi, as the prince of the Jewish people, and in his place they appointed Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah for a day. Right, he took that place. But on that day, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah had a different approach towards teaching Torah than Rabban Gamliel. Rabbi Gamliel would not allow into the yeshiva anyone who was not tocho kebaro. Anyone who's inside didn't match their outside. Anyone who wasn't true and honest to themselves. And it takes quite a Rosh Yeshiva like Rabbi Gamliel to know who is the same inside and outside. But on the day that Rabbi Gamliel was deposed, the Beis Medrash filled with hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of more in Yavna, which is where they were, the Karen B'Yavna, it filled with hundreds of more seats. And Rabban Gamliel was there. Rabban Gamliel felt bad. I've been holding all these people out, like hundreds and hundreds of people. And he was, the Gemara seems to understand that he was wrong about this. Anyway, but they realized that tomorrow we're going to reappoint Rabban Gamliel. Right? This thing isn't going to last very long. And so we have one day when we have everyone in the Beis Medrash. So they made an announcement. They said, anyone who has something important, part of the Mesorah, part of the tradition, and they haven't been allowed into the Beis Medrash, get up now and speak. And all day long, people got up, people who were never in the Beis Medrash. There were two random who got up and testified something they heard from Shemaya and Naftali. And there were two guys who worked, but they showed up on that day, and they gave us a Torah that we would otherwise never have. And there was all this. And so this whole Masechta is called Masechtas Idios, the Masechta of all the testimonies. And this is the last Mishnah in Masechtas Edeos. Amar Rabbi Yeshua, Rabbi Yeshua got up and he said, Mekubal ani, I received mi Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, that's his teacher, the great Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, Shishama mirabo, he heard from his Rabbi, Virabo mirabo, and his Rabbi from his Rabbi, Halacha l'Moshe Mesina, and this goes back to Sinai, She'ein Eliyahu ba l'tamei l'taher, that Eliyahu is not coming to make the pure, impure, l'rachik, l'karev, to distance, to bring close. Ela l'rachik asam akuravim bizro, only the ones, people who used force to push themselves in, that's who Eliyahu is going to kick out. U'l'karev asam uruchakin bizro, and anyone who by force was pushed out of their position, Eliyahu will bring them back in. Says the Mishnah, and this is still Rabbi Yeshua talking, Mishpachas based Tzarifa. There was a family of Beis Tzarifa, Be'evra Yarden in Transjordan, Berichaka Ben Sayun, Rabbi Kapach says that that's how the name should be pronounced, not Ben Zion, but Ben Sayun, Bezeroa, this guy was some mafia boss, and he threw that family out, There was another family in Beis Tzrifa, the Kirva Ben Sayun Bizroa, and this Ben Sayun used his mafia forces to bring some family in that wasn't supposed to be. Kigon Elu, so in those cases, Eliyahu Balatami Latai Larachi Lakarif, those are the things that Eliyahu is going to correct. In other words, mistakes that have happened as a result of human error. So there was a person, a Kohen, who didn't realize that he wasn't supposed to marry this woman, and they have children, and whatever. And no one realized, no one knows about it. He's not going to show up and say, hey, these are apostle Kohanim. But a family that used force to compel people to call them Kohanim, that he's going to get rid of. Rabbi Yehuda says, no, Eliyahu's not going to diminish anyone. Lekaro Lorach, he'll bring close those who were unfairly pushed away, but he's not going to distance those who were unfairly brought in. Reb Shimon says, Lahashvos as Amachlokes, he is going to resolve our disputes. Vachachamim Omrim, but the sages say, this should sound familiar, Lo Lerachek, Lo Lekarev, not to distance, not to bring close. Elolasos Shalom Ba'olam, he's only coming to bring peace to the world. Shenemar, as it says in the verse, Hini Anochi Shaleach Lachem, I will send to you as Eliyahu Anavi, if Nebo Yom Hashem, before the coming of the day of Hashem, Hagod of Anor, the great and the awesome, Beheshiv Levavos Abanim, and he will return the hearts of the fathers upon the children. So that's clearly what the Rambam is echoing. Right, this Mishnah in Masecht is Idios, and he's clearly ruling like the Chachamim that Eliyahu's job is only to make peace. And what does that actually mean? Yes.
Forcibly brought in, meaning into the yeshiva to learn, or
no, into kashrus, into the family of kashrus. Eliyahu is going to come and say about families that force their way in as Kohanim or something like that, that they're not Kohanim. Any kind of kashrus or psul, if the family is a mamzerim and they force their way in, you know, anything which people used their wickedness, so to speak, to make a choice to try to create something improper, that Elio is going to have to undo, according to the first opinion. But if things happen, things happen. But if someone tries to, you know, that's the first opinion. So the Rambam doesn't rule like that. He rules like the other opinion. Right? According to that opinion, yeah. Yeah, so we're going to talk about this in the next chapter, in the next section, next halacha, which is halacha gimel, where the Rambam is going to talk about Mashiach declaring people kosher or not kosher. So we're going to save that discussion, because there will be some discussion. We're going to talk about how that applies today's days. If there's a mamzer, chas v'shalom, in today's days, do you have to publicize it or not? We'll talk about that when we get to that halacha. But presumably, on a simple level, Eliyahu has no such role, because the Rambam rules that that's not his job. His job is only to bring peace to the world. So what does that look like? So the Rambam here doesn't tell us anything. But the Rambam has other svarim. Specifically, the Rambam wrote a whole commentary on the entire Mishnah. So what does the Rambam say on that Mishnah? Right. It's a pretty good place to look. V'chachamim omrim, says the Rambam, Ein avel v'yochsin kol anikra shmi hakol misyachsim el ha'emes. The issue, the incorrectness, the problem that Eliyahu is coming to fix in the world is not yichus. That can't be the biggest problem. That's the biggest problem, is who descends from whom. Hakol misyachsin al emes, everyone is a descendant of truth. V'hatorah hi av lakol, the Torah is the father of everyone. Who's related to whom, that can't be the biggest issue. Aval, you know what Eliyahu is coming to correct? Who has sina sheyesh ben bnei Adam? He's going to correct the hatred that exists between people. V'fishi sinas chinam, because it is baseless hatred. V'oso lo aval b'sinaso also, and so the world is incorrect. the world is improper as long as there's hatred between people. Amram lasas shalom ba'olam, that's what it means that Eliyahu is going to bring peace in the world. What it means is not that he's going to sit down and become a family counselor for every family within the Jewish people, which would be great to have Eliyahu Anavi be able to do that. But that's not what's going to happen. What's going to happen is he's going to teach us as a people to get rid of the sinas chinam, to get rid of the baseless hatred. Now, is that going to be through a speech, through inspiration, through some... I don't know how what that process is. But that's what Eliyahu Hanavi's job is, not to bring peace to the world and just, you know, create peace, but as the Rambam says, Eliyahu is going to teach us how to get rid of sinas chinam. Hu amram lasa sholom ba'olam, that's what it means to get to make peace in the world. So while the Rambam doesn't explain himself here in Mishneh Torah, he does explain himself in his commentary to the Mishnah, and once again, he's saying that to bring peace to the world is specifically Eliyahu Anavi is going to go after all of our sinas chinam. So I know there's a lot of people who are very machmer to hold on to that sinas chinam so that Eliyahu Anavi has what to do. But there's no such chumrah. Don't worry, there's other people who will take care of that for you. In fact, I'm sure Eliyahu would appreciate if you started his work for him and rid this world of this baseless hatred. Yes?
Can you define better what baseless hatred means? And is there base hatred, meaning some sort of
justice? Yeah, that's a... Right, so there's different definitions of baseless hatred. It depends on which commentary you'll ask, and sometimes it depends on context. But baseless hatred does not mean hating people for nothing, because generally speaking, no one hates anyone else for nothing. Right? But baseless means the hatred that you have has no base. Which would mean, as you're pointing out, that if there is a base, so for example, if someone insulted me and they hurt me, if I would only hate them as much as the pain they caused me, then that wouldn't be sinas chinam. It would be sinah, it would be hatred, but it wouldn't be chinam. It wouldn't be baseless because it would be appropriate. But as soon as we cross that line, it becomes baseless hatred. So you can have more baselesser, and baselessy, less baseless. Right? So there are different levels. But that's what Eliyahu is coming to do, is to fix that gap of the hatred that exists that has no place. And that comes from, that's the hate that we generate, generally speaking, from our own issues. So when someone does something to me, I don't like them because of that. So if I only dislike them based on what they did, I'm not really going to hate them. In order for that to hate them, what happens is my own issues, all the other things I hate, the things I've said about myself and about everything that's ever happened in my life, is suddenly poured out on this person, which is typically what happens. So that's baseless hatred. So Eliyahu Hanavi, and there's a verse from the Chafetz Chaim. Chafetz Chaim writes that we were sent into exile, as the Gemara tells us, the first time for the three cardinal sins, and the second time for Lashon Hara, and for Sinas Chinam, for baseless hatred. Asks the Gemara, which is worse? Says the Gemara, well, let's count the years. This one is 70 years, and this one's 2,000 almost. So therefore it must be Lashon Hara, Sinas Chinam is worse, and it's explained because Lashon Hara actually includes all three. And people go, really? Lashon Hara is the same as idolatry, adultery, and murder? And the answer is yes, you were just not raised that way. But it is that bad. It's hard for the Jewish people because Sinas Chinam is a challenge. Says the Chafetz Chaim, we've never corrected Sinas Chinam. How do I know that we've never corrected Sinas Chinam? Because we're still in exile. Says the Chafetz Chaim, but maybe we corrected Sinas Chinam, but we're in exile because of some new bad habits we picked up. Says the Chafetz Chaim, that's not how it works. If we would fix Sinas Chinam, and then we would pick up some other bad habit that we don't keep Shabbos well, Hashem would bring us back because we fix Sinas Chinam and then send us into exile again for the next thing. That's what the Chafetz Chaim writes. And since we're still in exile, that means we haven't corrected Sinas Chinam, which means that is our biggest issue. So you may have asked the question, how's Mashiach going to come? How's Mashiach going to come if we have Sinas Chinam? Is there any plan that we have to rid this world of Sinas Chinam? Where is the unifications that are supposed to be occurring amongst the Jewish people? If anything, we see just more and more fracturing. Says the Rambam, that's the answer, is Eliyahu Hanavi is going to come, and he's going to rid us of Sinas Chinam.
I don't see why you say there's more and more trash, right? It's like, little by little, there's like more acceptance. Look what this war that's been going on has done. You know, it's brought the non-Fromin to becoming a little more Fromin. Little by little, putting up
to I'm with you that the shift in numbers is to move more people from group B into group A. But the relationship between group A and group B is not improved, and if anything, is only getting more and more tense. So yes, more people joining group A causes group A to have a greater amount of camaraderie and achdus and bringing people in from all kinds of areas, people from all kinds of backgrounds, all joining, and that's very good, but A and B are still unable to talk to each other. Yeah. And it's getting harder because the struggle becomes more difficult. So that's what Eliyahu is going to come. He's going to fix this. He's going to make us get over our own issues so that at least if we hate each other, it should be based on something. Sure, that won't be true either. Okay, so with the amount of time we have left, if I may, I want to go back and discuss this other answer of the Vilna Gaon to the question about does the Rambam rule like Shmuel that the only difference is Moshe Mashiach and Olam Hazeh, or does he not rule like Shmuel? There seems to be this confusion. So the Vilna Gaon has a Torah on this. And in this Torah, he does something else that's exceptional, which is, if you recall, the Rambam tells us that even though there are some things which are clearly going to happen, for example, Mashiach needing to gather in all the Jews from exile, that's basic. If that doesn't happen, he's not Mashiach. But then there's other things which maybe they'll happen this way, maybe they'll happen that way, maybe there will be, as we said, bread growing on trees. Maybe won't. We don't worry about that. That'll happen. However the prophecies will manifest. You can't read prophecies that way because we don't have the tools to take a verse in Tanakh, which is a prophecy, and interpret it simply using our intellect. You have to have a Masorah from Sinai. And the Rambam, the words of the Rambam were, Gam ha-chachamim ein lahem kabbalah b'dvarim elu. That even the sages, they don't have a tradition when it comes to these things. So therefore, it's just a matter of how everyone reads the verses. So if it's a matter of how everyone reads the verses, you can't know for sure. But what about places or clues? You're talking about clues that exist in Tanakh. What about clues that exist in the Talmud? Because there are some traditions that the rabbis had about the future of days. And even though we're not so good at analyzing the verses in the Navi properly, but we do have thousands of years of tradition of studying the Talmud. So says the Vilna Gaon, forget Tanakh for a second, I've got a clue as to how this is going to go down based on a very cryptic section of the Talmud. So I'm going to finish reading the Rambam where we are, and then I'm going to go straight to the Vilna Gaon. Okay, so v'yesh melech hachamim she'omrim, there are some sages who say, she'kodim b'yes melech ha-mashiach yavu Eliyahu, I'm still reading from the Rambam, v'chal elu advarim kayotze b'hem, when it comes to these things, lo yeda adam hech she'yu, ad she'yu, no one knows how it's going to be, until it will be, she'dvarim stumin hein etzal ha-naviyim, because even the prophets kept it hidden, gam ha-chachamim ein lam kabbalah b'dvarim elu, our sages don't have a tradition on these matters, el lefi achrei ha-psukim, it's all in how you understand the verses. That's why the rabbis don't agree, because there was never a tradition passed on through us about how exactly it's going to go down at the end of days. The Al Kalpanim, in any case, in Sidra Avayas Dvar Me'elu V'Laditukan Iker Bedas. So while it's maybe one of the principles of faith to believe in Mashiach and to wait for Mashiach and to wait for Mashiach to come and redeem the Jewish people and build a base of English, all these things we know are going to happen are part of your obligated expectations. But all the other things are not part of the religion in terms of the principle of faith. So don't spend your time learning all these agadaics about the future days. And don't spend too much time. Again, he's not saying don't learn it. He's saying don't spend too much time on it. That discuss these things, things like this. But don't make these the most important thing. It won't lead you to love God more or to fear God more, which is what you should be focused on. And so too, the Rambam finishes with this warning, which hopefully we'll have time to come back to. Lo yachshev akitzen, don't make calculations about when you think Mashiach is coming. Don't make these claims. And whenever people say, oh, look at this tragedy, it's a sign Mashiach is coming. So what they've done is they've just kicked Mashiach back a few steps. Amru Chacham, the sages say, Tefuach Daitan, Shal Mechash Vekitzen, let those people who try to calculate the ends, may their minds blow up. They should spontaneously combust. Aleichake, you should wait, V'yamin, and believe, B'chlal Adavar, in the general matter, Kamoshi B'yarn. Okay, so I want to go to the Vilna Gaon, and if we have time after the Vilna Gaon, we'll come back to this point of the Rambam about calculating ends, which needs its own discussion.
The Vilna Gaon was in the
1700s. 18th century, yeah. Okay. Ein ben olam hazeh liyamos ha-mashiach. I'm reading now from the words of the Vilna Gaon. This is a Gemara, a quote from Shmuel, and it's a Gemara in Sanhedrin, and it's a Gemara in Brachas. And yet, the Rambam, as we mentioned last time, seems to pick both sides. Why? So we haven't looked at this yet. And we're really going to wait until Halacha Dalad, we're still in Halacha Beis, to look at this, which is where the Rambam has a little discussion about Mashiach all the way back at the beginning of the Rambam in Hilchos Tshuva. And in Hilchos Tshuva, the Rambam talked about the concept of an ideal world that we should live in, and so he talked about Mashiach, and there, the Rambam seems to have a little bit of a different understanding as to what's going to happen when Mashiach comes.
Rambam.
So the Rambam in Hilchos Tshuva, the Kama Hama David v'Yisava L'Chai Olam Abba Shanam Kvar Yiduni Chacham Merishanim Shetov Asa Olam Abba. When it comes to the goodness of Olam Abba, Ein koach ba'adam la'asiga al buria, you can't really know what's going to be in Olam Haba, in the future world. It's beyond our imagining. And b'chal ha'tovah, so all the great things that the prophets talk about that's going to happen to the Jewish people, with all the great miracles, that's al dvarim shel guf shenanim ha'yisrael b'yimos ha'melech ha'mashiach. Meaning the Rambam seems to rule unlike Shmuel. And almost openly, we're going to read this more again soon, we're going to come back to it, but it sounds like he's saying that all the prophecies that are written in the Nevi'im, in all the works of the prophets, are referring to the days of Mashiach, and that's when, let's use the same example, bread grows on trees. We're going to use that as the example of a sort of supernatural world. B'zman shetachzer memshala liYisrael, that's when we will regain our sovereignty. Aval tovos chayel mabah. But the good of the Olam Haba, that's beyond our vision. Which sounds like the Rambam is contradicting himself. And the Rambam also said elsewhere, which we'll come back to, the Rambam writes, Avol Yemos HaMashiach Olam Hazeh, also in the laws of Tshuva, the world of Mashiach is like our world. But Olam Kiminago Holech, and everything will go on as natural. Al Shal Malchus Tachzal Yisrael. But just we'll have sovereignty. As our sages say, there's no difference between Olam Hazeh and Yemos HaMashiach, only sovereignty. So the Rambam seems to be going back and forth. Says the Vilna Gaon, what's going on here? Says the Vilna Gaon, Lo Pligi, there's no disagreement. In the Gemara, there aren't two opinions. Elu ve'elu divrei Elokim Chayim, they are both the words of the living God. Ki beis Yemos HaMashiachem, because there are two Yemos HaMashiachs, says the Vilna Gaon. The first is based on the Gemara. The Gemara says, in one place it says, Be'ita, I will send Mashiach and it's time. In another place it says, Achishana, I will hurry him, which means he will come early, says the Gemara, it's a contradiction. Answers the Gemara, no. If we are meritorious, then he'll come early. We can bring him any time. We can bring him right now. But if we don't have merit, then we're going to have to wait until the time comes. So he learns that Mashiach can't come early. There's a date when Mashiach comes. Mashiach is coming early. If we merit to bring Mashiach early, then, says the Gra, we get Mashiach ben Yosef. And so Mashiach ben Yosef, we could have merited from the year 4000. We could have had, the Beis Hamikdash was destroyed about 3700 to creation, so halfway through 3700. And so from the year 4000 and on, Mashiach could have come. And he quotes a Gemara in Avodah Zarah, the first 2000 years of the world was basically tohu vavohu, mostly empty. The next 2,000 years was the development of Torah, and the last 2,000 years are supposed to be days of Mashiach. And had we merited from the year 4,000 and on, which means 1,784 years ago, we could have brought Mashiach, but that wouldn't have been time for Mashiach ben David, says the Gra, that would have been Mashiach ben Yosef, or we can bring Mashiach ben Yosef today, if Mashiach ben David is supposed to come tomorrow.
What is it
Says the Rambam, but us, and if we have Mashiach ben Yosef, that only Shivud Malchus Bavad. In other words, Mashiach ben Yosef can only bring about a geopolitical independence of Jews. He can only bring about that, because that's what we mean. There's no difference between this world and the days of Mashiach. When we're saying that, we're referring to the days of Mashiach when there is a Mashiach ben Yosef. Okay, again, according to the Vilna Gaon, that there's two separate things. Aval Esav lo yipol b'yado, but Mashiach ben Yosef will not conquer Esav. Achakach be'alef hashishi, but during the 6000, which means from 5000 and on, then Mashiach ben David can come. Then Yavo Esav im Gog im Magog, Esav will come with Gog im Magog against Hashem and against Mashiach, and then Mashiach ben David will be victorious. And then, when Mashiach ben David comes, that's when the world will turn into a more supernatural state, and so both of these opinions are not even disagreeing. They're just talking about two different definitions of Olam Hazeh and Yemus HaMashiach. So, says the Vilna Gaon, I'm not just going to tell you it's my opinion, I'm going to tell you that our sages hid my approach in a very cryptic mashal. Listen to this Gemara. If you've learned brachas, if you've learned Masechtas Brachas, you've read this Gemara and you've gone and you've made that sort of, what does this mean? This Gemara in brachas is referring to a Mishnah that all of you have heard and studied and learned many times. And you'll sound very familiar. Amr Ablazer ben Azariah, said Ablazer ben Azariah, Hare ani kiben shivim shana, it's like I'm 70 years old. You should feel a little Pesachish right now. V'lozachisi shetei amer yitzias Mitzrayim ba'alelos, but I never merited to describe the Exodus during yitzias Mitzrayim at night, because we have no source that we should do it at night. Achidorsha ben Zoma, I know it's in your Haggadah, but it's a Mishnah in Masechtas Brachos. Until Ben Zoma taught us, it says in the Torah, Leman Tiska, you should remember, as Yom says, Chamir is trying the day that you leave Egypt, Kol Yemei Chayacha, all the days of your life. It says, Kol Yemei Chayacha. If it would just say Yemei Chayacha, if it would just say the days of your life, that would be the Yamin. But Kol Yemei Chayacha, it says all the days of your life, Halelos, that means the entire day, including the night. The Chachamim say, no, Yemei Chayacha, Ha'olam Hazeh, that's in this world. Kol Yemei Chayecha, Lahavi Demos HaMashiach, to include the days of Mashiach. Right? Sounds familiar, everyone knows this, right? So, what's the debate? This is a debate over whether we will recite the Sipur Yitzis Mitzrayim, telling the story of the Exodus, when Mashiach comes. Are we still going to have a Pesach Seder? After we have these great miracles of the future. So the Gemara says, Tanya Amu Ben Zoma L'Chachamim, Sedech Ben Zoma to the Chachamim, V'chim Askirin Tzias Mitzrayim Yemos HaMashiach. After Mashiach comes, we're still going to talk about Mitzrayim. But look, Varnamer, it says in the book of Yirmiyah, Hine yamim ba'im nu Hashem, the days are coming, says Hashem. V'lo yamru od, they will no longer say, Chai Hashem, the living God, Asher Helas, B'nei Yisrael, Me'eretz Mitzrayim, took the Jews out of Egypt. That's no longer going to be, I am Hashem who took you out of Egypt. Ki imchai Hashem, the living God, Asher Helev, Asher Evi Esra, Zerah Beis Yisrael, Mi Eretz Tzafona. But rather we will say God who brought us from the north, and Mikol Arsus, Asher Edachnim Shaman, from all the countries all over the world. So we're going to replace the telling of the story of Yetzias Mitzrayim with the telling the story of our exodus and return to Eretz Yisrael. So how can you say that we're going to do Yetzias Mitzrayim in the days of Mashiach? That's the question. Amr lo, they said we disagree. Lo k'shiteyake Yetzias Mitzrayim u'kamu, we disagree with your interpretation. You're reading that it's going to replace the story of Yetzias Mitzrayim. We don't think that. Shtei shibud malchias ikar, the story of our freedom in the current age will be the primary recitation. The Yetzias Mitzrayim, Tafalo, the story of Egypt will still be there. It'll just be the second level miracle. It won't be our biggest experience. It'll be our second biggest experience. It still makes it into our davening. Ki Yotzubo Ata Omer, just like, fascinating comparison, Lo Yikarei Shimcha Od Yaakov, Ki Im Yisrael Yeshem Echa, means that Yaakov is not going to lose the name Yaakov, but Yisrael becomes his primary name, and Yaakov becomes a secondary name. Notice that connection? And then, the Gemara says the following, I'm just going to read and translate. V'chenu Omer, it says, Al tiskeru rishonos, don't remember those old things, v'kadmonios, things of the past, al tizbonenu, don't even think about them. Al tiskeru rishonim, don't even think about it, zeshibud malchios, That's the subjugation of the nations which we will be free from. The Kadmonius, Al-Tizbonu, and don't even think about the past, Zuitias Mitzrayim, that's the exodus from Egypt. Sounds like it's going the wrong direction, right? That we should not learn about these things.
Who are the they talking to?
The Yidden, who are us, we're reciting Shema. So we will no longer think about these past things, these old things. Which is strange, because we're now trying to explain the opinion that says that we will. Right? And then it continues, Hinei the Osech Hadasha, I'm going to make new things. Ata Titzmach, now something will sprout that will be greater than all those things. Taner of Yosef, what's that? So Melchamas Gog u'Magog, that's the war of Gog u'Magog. Which means that somehow the war of Gog u'Magog is going to erase all the past things. If the Gemara would stop here, which is where the Gemara should stop, we wouldn't know what to do with this. But the Gemara goes on to say, Mashal lema davar doma, listen very carefully to this fable. La'adam shayim ahalich b'derech, there was a man that was walking down the road. Upaga bo ze'ev, and he met a wolf. V'nitzal mimenu, and he beat the wolf. V'yimisafe v'holech, so the whole way, anyone he meets, what does he tell them? My says, Abe, yeah, you got to see the story of this wolf. It came at me. All I had was a little stick. Yeah, whole story. Then he goes back on the road. Pagabuhari, and he meets a lion. Benitzal mimenu, and somehow he beats the lion. Now he tells the story of the lion. He doesn't even tell people about the wolf. Pagabu nachash, but then he meets the snake. Benitzal mimenu, and he gets saved from the snake. Shachach Maisish name. Now he forgets the wolf and the lion. When he misapav a holich Maisin Nachash, and he only tells about the snake. Af Kach Yisrael, so will be the Jewish people. Tzaras Achronos Meshachas Aserishonos. The later troubles will erase the earlier troubles. What is the Gemara trying to say? What do we need a lion and a wolf and a snake? What is this talking about? It says the Vilna Gaon. I think the rabbis are trying to tell us the secret of what's really going to go down in that mashal. And so therefore, says the Vilna Gaon, there's so many questions on this. First you're trying to prove that we won't say Yetzias Mitzrayim. And then you bring me a source that we will say Yetzias Mitzrayim. And then it sounds like he's saved from the wolf. And then when he's saved from the lion, he talks about the lion. But doesn't say he forgets the wolf. But then when he meets the snake, now he forgets about the wolf and the lion. What are they trying to say? El akarchach must be, says the Gra, the Vilna Gaon, the Gra, the Bishas Shibud Galias, that there will be stage one, which is Mashiach ben Yosef, which is only a difference in the geopolitical structure of the world. Adayin lo nekar yitzias Mitzrayim legamri, and so therefore, even when that happens and we have our full sovereignty with no wars and no enemies, we won't stop celebrating yitzias Mitzrayim because it's not a big enough advancement to erase yitzias Mitzrayim. Just having our sovereignty. But then, when Mashiach ben David comes, that's actually going to make us forget all the previous troubles. I mean, that's the mashal. Adam Echshay Mahalach B'derech. He met a wolf, and then he was saved. The wolf in this case is the Egyptian exile which we escaped from. The Ari Merames Ashibit Galias, and the lion is the subjugation of the nations which we will be freed from. And when we will have the lion, meaning when we defeat the lion and we finally have our freedom, the Gemara is saying we won't forget the wolf and we will still be saying Yitzias Mitzrayim. B'shas, Hatzalas, Mochamas, Gog u'Magog. But then when the war of Gog u'Magog will come, which will be such a powerful event, and the miracles involved will be greater than that of Egypt, even though the verse says, "Ki meitzeis chayar miyaretz Mitzrayim, aranu neflais, I will show you miracles like Egypt," but we say the miracles of the future will be greater, says the Vilna Gaon, and at that point, we will stop talking about Yitzias Mitzrayim completely, and we will stop celebrating even Mashiach ben Yosef's accomplishments, because Mashiach ben David is the ultimate goal that we are looking for. So the Vilna Gaon has resolved both issues. Let me repeat that. Number one, the question is, in some places the Rambam seems to rule that there will be no difference except the subjugation of the nations, like Shmuel. And in other places, the Rambam seems to rule like the Chachamim, that when Mashiach comes, things are going to be miraculous. So says the Vilna Gaon, to answer that question, that there's two stages of Mashiach ben Yosef and Mashiach ben David. If we bring Mashiach early, and it's not the time for Mashiach ben David yet, then we get this Mashiach ben Yosef, which is the freedom and the sovereignty, and maybe that's what Rabbi Akiva was trying to set up with Bar Kochba. Even if he was a descendant of the house of David, he would be much more of a Mashiach ben Yosef role as the independent leader of the Jewish people, but not that this is Mashiach ben David. And maybe that's why he didn't need Eliyahu, and he didn't need all those other conditions. Perhaps. But the Vilna Gaon is not saying that. But what the Vilna Gaon is saying is that we could bring Mashiach ben Yosef starting the year 4000. And we failed the whole 1,000 years. And even then, we could have started bringing Mashiach ben David in the year 5000. So when it says that we will even when Mashiach comes, we're still going to be talking about Yitzias Mitzrayim. That's this first level of Mashiach, this level of Mashiach that's only the freedom from the subjugation of the nations. That's not enough to nullify the Egyptian exodus. But once Mashiach ben David comes and actually changes the world in a supernatural way, that's going to erase reciting Yitzias Mitzrayim, so Lahavi the Mosa Mashiach, which we say in the Haggadah, according to the Vilna Gaon, would mean only Lahavi the Mosa Mashiach in the days of Mashiach ben Yosef, but in the days of Mashiach ben David, according to that opinion, we will no longer say Yitzias Mitzrayim. Yes?
Can you just define
subjugation? So we're calling that geopolitical peace. That's it. Just the war. The nations are no longer warring. That's how we defined it. That's a simple way. Because we know it means that the Jewish people won't have any fear of the enemies. But it sounds like it means that the Jewish people will be the guides to the world in terms of the geopolitical stage, that there will be no more wars in the world. But as we mentioned last week, there'll still be crimes. They'll still be within each nation. There will be. They're just when nations will gather together, they will have the sense of world peace.
What are we going to speak about in the time of Mashiach? The ingathering of everybody coming to Israel? Is that what we're
going to
talk about?
Well, he's saying, according to the Vilna Gaon, when Mashiach ben David comes, that's when Gog u'Magog comes. And this incredible event of the war of Gog u'Magog is going to be such an Exodus-like, like Yitzias Mitzrayim kind of event, but greater, that's why it will nullify. And that's what the Gemara means. When we encounter the snake, we forget about the wolf and the lion. What the Gemara is trying to tell you is actually three levels. And it's not until three when both one and two are forgotten. So that's the Vilna Gaon's proof to his position in the way he wants to read the Rambam. Yes?
Does the Vilna Gaon's explanation also resolve the question about why there are two different prophecies about Gog u'Magog? So I think I've got this right. Please correct me if I don't. But I think the one in Zakaria has the people of the world coming at the time of Sukkot to the Beit HaMikdash to start giving offerings and so on. But you don't have that in the...
Right. You see, the problem is they don't contradict each other, which is why I wouldn't really look for it as two different things. So I don't think the Gran needs to step in, because it could both be true.
There is much less loss of life in the Ezekiel version.
Again, I'm going to pull back on this and say, at this point, you're entering into verse interpretation. And that's what the Rambam is telling you. You want to try to verse interpret, you're just guessing. The Vilna Gaon is pulling Gemaras. Right? So he's saying, okay, verses, it's up to how you read the verses. We don't know how to read the verses, but we know how to read Gemaras. So he's going to quote a Gemara. So if you want to go back and say that according to this Vilna Gaon, you can interpret this verse like this and that verse like that, I think that's fine, but that wouldn't be what the Vilna Gaon would want us to do with this Torah, because he would say, well, you don't know what the verses mean, and it could be. So yeah, you can learn it as like a drash, but not to sort of fill in the blanks, because the Vilna Gaon, when he's giving us this explanation, he feels that this is how we should approach it, this is what we should expect, based on what he's seeing from that Gemara. So based on the verses, you couldn't take this grand and interpret the verses and say this is the way it must be, but you could certainly take this approach and then use it to resolve places where there seems to be a two different...
Well,
tales.
Maybe I'm going too far in this. I guess my main point was just there appears to be a period of peace in the Zakaria thing that maybe it's not a contradiction, but if the idea is that at the end there has to be some short period of peace, and if Mashiach ben Yosef comes, then that will bring it. But right. If not, it's there in Zechariah.
If you wanted to, you could use this idea to resolve seeming complications in the verses. Yeah. According to this approach in the Vilna Gaon, I imagine there are many questions that are resolved, and the Grav would tell you that the reason why he resolves so many verses is because this is what's going to happen. Right. Yes.
Right.
Well, we say it in the morning and in the evening.
Yes, but when you say something like very big, it's gonna happen, that's big, but it's gonna happen more like that.
More than Egypt, right? It's gonna be bigger miracles than Egypt, and that's what we should be looking forward to, according to the Vilna Gaon. Again, that's the Rambam is saying, we don't know exactly what things are gonna look like. Stop trying to guess. Right? Okay, and I want to finish with one final point, which is that the Rambam warns us not to calculate dates. And what that means is, we've talked about that many would read that not just as don't calculate dates, but don't say things like this is a sign of Mashiach, or say things like this person is Mashiach. Things like that end up causing a delay to the process. We said, even if someone is Mashiach, you can declare them, you can say theoretically, but to declare someone Mashiach, that's a dangerous move to make. You better be pretty confident. And so you can only declare someone to be a potential Mashiach. But making claims, then the question is, as we mentioned, the Rambam is more than one work. If you look in Igeres Teman, in his letter to the community in Yemen, there he explains how you're not supposed to make any calculations. And then he says, well, how come Reb Sadia Gaon gave a date? Reb Sadia Gaon was one of the Gaonim who lived in the era before the Rambam, a couple hundred years before, and he gives a date for the coming of Mashiach. So then why did Reb Sadia do it? Says the Rambam, you have to understand that sometimes you have to do a negative thing in order to save people from making a mistake. That's not our calculation to make, but Sadia could make such a calculation. And he realized that if people would understand that Mashiach is not coming for another 1,000 years, which would be true of Sadia Gaon, that many Jews in his generation would be lost and give up. So he gave them a date that was like 100 years away. But it was only, the words of the Rambam are, the people of his generation, Bali Svaros Nishchasos, they had corrupted philosophies. Kumachitaba Torah Hashem, and he felt like the Torah of Hashem would be lost if they didn't have this. And so he gave them a date, it almost like it was an Eis La'asos La'Hashem, a time to do for Hashem. Now, you couldn't transgress a biblical prohibition based on that, but the rabbinical prohibition of giving predictions and dates, you know, that he could transgress. And then the Rambam goes on in Igeres Tema to say, and by the way, I received from my teachers, I received a tradition about the date as well. And then he gives a date that, of course, has long since passed. And it's almost, the Rambam just warned us about not to do it. So the answer is that when the Rambam was giving an excuse for Upsad Yigan, he wasn't really giving the excuse for Upsad Yigan, but he was giving the excuse for himself for what he was about to do, which is to give a date, because really it's the people of his generation who had the corrupted philosophies, but he doesn't want to insult the people of his generation. So he's saying the people in the days of Upsadia, they were so stubborn and so thick-headed, that unless you gave them some kind of date, they couldn't continue to function. So Sad Yigan gave them a date. And by the way, if anyone needs a date today, here's a date that you can use. Right? Almost like giving the same excuse. But it's the Rambam. It's the same Rambam. The answer is that sometimes even the Rambam understands that you have to say things and do things that are required. But overall, you should know that these dates, none of those dates came true. The ones that were predicted, something always happened. Something always happened. The Malbim in the 1800s gives a date, and that date is the year of World War I. So they were seeing something about the coming of Mashiach, a potential, but dates don't work out. Don't give dates. Don't try to calculate. Let's just be patient and wait and hope. Hachakelo b'chol yom sheyavo, afo pishi yismamea, even if he delays, we'll wait for him every day. It should come. Be'ez Hashem, we'll continue next time.